This is from Song of Solomon, chapter 1. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Song of Solomon is just about this Christian. We're going to speak of it in New Testament terms, about a believer who has some kind of fresh encounter with the love of God. And it so stirs their heart, they decide that they want to experience more. They want to go farther than they've ever gone before in the Lord. And so there's this prayer that's prayed at the very beginning, and this is the Song of Solomon. Everything else in the Song of Solomon is just explaining what happened, explaining this little dialogue here. This believer cries out, "Draw me after you, let us run." And the response was, "The king has brought me into his chambers." This is a place of intimacy, revelation, union, and communion. And everything else in the Song of Solomon is a description of what happened in those chambers, what God showed this believer and how he transformed and brought this person into a true experience of their union and communion with Christ. But the very next thing that it says, the very next phrase is, "We will rejoice in you and be glad. And we will extol your love more than wine. Truly, we love you." In the Song of Solomon, it's all types and metaphors. And wine can speak of a couple of things, but primarily it speaks of just the pleasures of this world. It can also speak of the joy of the Holy Spirit, but it speaks of the pleasures, not sinful things, just pleasures of any kind. And this is the first thing this believer says through this fresh encounter, is that we will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol your love more than any other pleasure. Let me read this verse to you. For me, this is kind of like Christianity 101. This is what I'm sharing. It's one of the most basic things for us to get. Because we talked about, the story today was about a miracle. And we've been talking about how we want to see a Christ-like measure of the miraculous. That's part of the deal. It's part of the walk with the Lord. Christ-likeness isn't just about character. It's about what he does, not just who he is. But this is from Habakkuk. So if you're going to read Habakkuk, look it up in the table of contents. It'll save you some time. This is verse 16. "I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us." This is talking about invasion coming against Israel, and just going through a tough place. "And though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, and though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no fruit, food, and though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls." Now you understand what Habakkuk is saying. Though there's an enemy coming, though there seems to be no fruitfulness, though there nothing seems to be flourishing, in light of all that, "yet I will exalt in the Lord, and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me walk on my high places." One of the things I love about that place in Habakkuk, and I'll so appreciate that sort of first declaration of the believer in the Song of Solomon after the king bringing her into the chambers of intimacy and revelation, is that the first statement is that we will exalt in you, rejoice in you, and be glad. Not in what you do. We extol your love more than any other pleasure. even though there's no fruit in the field, even though there's battle going on, even though there's an enemy coming, even though nothing seems to be flourishing, everything seems to be barren, even though the feelings have gone out the window, we're going to rejoice in you. Do I love him because of who he is or because of what he does? Because the bottom line is that do we love the fact, do we rejoice in the fact, it says in Romans 8, that because nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, you're an overwhelming conqueror. That's Christianity 101. What if the miracle doesn't come? What if it's slow in coming? What if the battle lasts longer than you thought? What if the things around you drop? What if your emotions decide to take a vacation? Is he enough? Can you rejoice in him? And in the fact that he loves you. And nothing can change that. And you see, what I believe from Habakkuk's story is the result of a heart that will rejoice in him. Night before last, I went to sleep like at 6:30 in the morning. Last night at 2:30 in the morning, 2:33, I'm reading the Song of Solomon because I'm doing this conference. We're doing this conference next week. So I'm just reading through the book as many times as I could. That's a great way to fall asleep, reading the Song of Solomon. And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, do you rejoice in my love more than the pleasure of sleep? Or when things don't go well, when you can't sleep, or when stuff, whatever's going on, is the first thing, do we grumble, complain, get fearful and anxious? Or is there something that supersedes all that? Something that transcends all that? That no matter what happens or doesn't happen, you love me. And I rejoice in you. And your face. Your face is more important to me than your hand. And I want to see his hand at work. But it's his presence that I'm grateful for. And his presence is there, whether I feel it or not, and his love for me is there. And I believe the result of that kind of disposition in the midst of the hardest place, the very next thing, the Lord God is my strength. You'll discover that when he is the source of your joy, not what he does, not that it's working out right yet, not in the blessing, but the blesser, that you'll find that God's being your strength and that he'll make your feet like hinds' feet on high places. And this mountain, this thing that you're going through, suddenly there's supernatural grace to go through it because his heart is your home. And your heart is his home. And that's all that really matters. Whom have I but thee, it says in Scripture. In Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. In his presence is fullness of joy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.